To better your best and your world, you need to dig deep and grow. Join us as top experts, leaders, and creators uncover powerful insights to help you grow in life and in work. And now, your host, Michael McAvoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Dig Deep Grow, the show dedicated to helping you better your best and your world. I'm your host, Michael McAvoy, and we are live. Today, we're going to be talking about the science of happiness and contentment. Now, everybody's kind of seen it here and there in the news over the past couple of years, but this subject is becoming absolutely carved in scientific fact about what happens when you practice happiness and contentment. I think the challenge for a lot of people is that they simply don't know where to start or exactly what that means. So we're going to get into that today. Today I have joining me Nina Lesowitz, the author of The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. And she's just completed a book called The Grateful Life, as I said, which goes into the science and also case studies, personal experience about the subject. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Nina. Nina, thank you for joining me. I'm grateful to have you here.
Oh, and thank you so much. I'm very grateful to be on.
All right, great. So the first thing I'll ask is you have written this book and other books in a similar vein. So I'll ask you just to talk a little about your journey and where you've come from as an author to this book.
Absolutely. I used to work at a publishing house that published self-help books, and some of the titles were Stopping, Living in Balance, and Easy Meditation. And at the time, I had young children. I worked full-time. I had a lot going on. And it was impossible for me to embrace their suggestions. You know, how do you just stop when you have to attend a parent-teacher conference or drive your kid to the orthodontist, work full-time? And, you know, and at the same time, I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness, and I thought that I would have to perhaps join an organized religion, or I'd have to sell my house and move to Italy and renovate a farmhouse. And then I discovered a book by Mary Jane Ryan called Attitude of Gratitude, and I started just practicing gratitude, and I realized that the secret to happiness was within, and also it was so easy to transform my outlook once I started doing that. So I just embraced, in 2009, co-author Mary Beth Sammons and I wrote Living Life as a Thank You, and we interviewed numerous people across the country and even overseas. And that book is primarily comprised of anecdotes, but then since 2009, we have been reading about and talking to leading researchers and scientists who have, in the intervening years, been doing studies that prove without a doubt that the practice of gratitude is good for your health and can transform your life. It's really amazing.
Yeah, in reading your book, some of the things that I noticed is that the science of gratitude seems to even have more benefit than some of what we thought would be even greater in the past, such as sleep or meditation, these kind of things. So I'll ask you to highlight some of the research that you have gone through to give us an idea about just how important that research is.
Yeah, well, one of the best-known studies was conducted by Robert Emmons, who is a professor of psychology at UC Davis, and what he did, numerous scientific studies, and he found that people who find something to appreciate every day are less depressed, less envious, less anxious, and much more likely to help other people. He found that people who count their blessings are happier, that they sleep better, as you mentioned, and are much more likely to achieve their goals. Did you want me to describe one of his studies?
Yeah, please. Go into some in more depth.
Yeah. Well, in one study, he asked three groups of volunteers to spend their week thinking about and writing down what happened to them that week. One group was asked to focus on what they were grateful for, another focused on hassles and irritations, and the third simply recorded what happened. So, for instance, that third group might say, I drove my car to work today. The second group would write, I sat in traffic, I caught off on the freeway, you know. And then the first group might write, I'm so grateful that I have a car to take me where I want to go, and I have shelter, and that I can listen to my favorite radio station. Well, they found that that group, you know, that group that spent all day looking for the good and the blessings, they ended up reporting much higher levels of energy, and they were happier, and also, and they slept better. And, you know, we know that happiness is good for your health, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then also there are numerous studies taking place as we speak. The UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center has awarded 14 grants supported by funding from the John Templeton Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I attended this Greater Good Science Center's Gratitude Summit a few months ago, and I listened to leading researchers and scientists discuss their findings that gratitude correlates with better health. It's just fascinating. I mean, Dr. Jeff Huffman from Harvard Medical School is conducting a study on the impact of gratitude in people who recently suffered a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that patients who are more grateful healed faster and were less likely to have another heart attack. So, you know, there's so much. There's just so much out there. And it just seems like every day I read something new about the benefits of gratitude.
I'm going to ask you about another study, or it was refers to another study in the book. I can't find the page right at the moment, but I think you'll know what to look for. Anyway, but I wanted to ask, how do you define happiness versus contentment? Because you say the secret to happiness and the science of contentment are they the same? Can you draw a distinction between how they work in our lives?
You know, I don't recall that there's any studies. Contentment is well, you know, we think of happiness as something elusive, something that we have that's far off in the future, that is dependent on outside circumstances. Contentment, in my opinion, is about counting our blessings right now. I mean, there's a great quote from Ben Stein, you know, the comedian and economist, mm-hmm. famous economist, who said that I can tell you that feeling rich is actually much better than being rich, mm-hmm. and that the only reliable get-rich-quick scheme is to be grateful. And the thing is you know, what I have also find incredibly fascinating is when we study cultures where they have virtually nothing. They don't even have enough to feed their family, but yet they give to guests. They give what little they have, and the act of giving makes them happy, and they end up happier on you know, whatever measure you would measure happiness by than we are. You know, I mean, these are people who from our perspective don't have what we would expect one would need in order to feel happy. So contentment is really about simply accepting, not just accepting, but giving thanks for things, even mundane things, like being happy for water. I mean, when you think about the fact that water comes out of our tap, and that we have hot water whenever we need it, I mean, that's just really profound, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Those little things, you know, seriously.
Right. Your answer reminded me of a you know, several studies where economists look into, well, how much you make relate to your level of happiness, and what they found over and over again is that, you know, once you earn somewhere in the range of $50,000 to $60,000. Everything beyond that does not play much of a role in how happy you are. So.
Oh yes, I know. Those are I recently read. You're referring to a recent study as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's been others over the years, but I know. I find that that's a great study. So definitely want to write about that.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a section in the book, and it was referring to, I think, a Dr. Seligman. Is it Seligman? Is that right? And it was talking about a group of people that were asked to write down, I think, three things. Does this ring a bell to you?
No.
Okay.
It might be something that my co-author wrote.
Okay, I'll look for it while we're talking. But
okay.
So, is there? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Is there anything, some statistics, other things related to family or work or anything like that that you could relate to this subject?
Oh, absolutely. There's been studies that show that gratitude has an enormously powerful impact on relationships, which makes perfect sense because if you just think about looking at somebody through eyes of, irritation and versus eyes of gratitude, it can completely transform the way you relate to the other person. It can completely transform your relationship. So I think it has a huge, huge impact on that. And literally everything. I mean, gratitude, I can't even think of anything that gratitude does not have a positive impact. I mean, there's what was fascinating to my co-author and I is we interviewed so many people who had gone through crises and major health challenges, and we actually found a connection between adversity and happiness, because even after people lose everything, they might have lost a child, they might have gotten a diagnosis of cancer or lost their house in a fire, so many of those people found their way to happiness because when those people gave thanks to the people around them who carried them through the storm, and those that were there to help them rebuild their lives, they found that their lives improved. So, yeah, there's been a lot of information about how important it is to have social connections, how people with social connections live longer, and the best way to bolster your sense of connection with other people is to acknowledge the good in them and to appreciate them, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, prior to writing The Grateful Life, you wrote a book called Living Life as a Thank You. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little about your personal journey in writing that book and this book? And I'm assuming that as the author of these books, that you were practicing what you're writing about. So maybe there's a couple of personal experiences that you could share.
Yeah. Actually, I read about this in the book about back, and I referenced this earlier when I was talking about when my children were young and I was working at a publishing company which published all these woo-woo books, like, a simple meditation and everything, and how I really was so stressed out at the time. I was going through a divorce, I was selling my house, and, as a single parent, working full-time, it was just a very, very difficult time in my life. And then I found this practice of gratitude and realized that I didn't need to go join a cult or go meditate for 3 hours a day. So there's that. And there's also what I wrote about in this book is that I recall going down to San Diego with one of my daughters to look at schools and seeing somebody who had just returned from Mexico on a sailboat and talking to this person. This person said, this is completely doable to anybody. I mean, anybody can do this. And at the time, I thought, that is just absurd. What do you mean? I mean, you need to have money, you need to have time, you need to... And the thing is that since practicing gratitude consistently since then, what I found is that my life has just become so much more open to... I mean, abundance is a word that a lot of, New Agers use. But it's really true. I mean, what happened was my my husband, my second husband and I, were gifted with a sailboat, and then we both took sailing lessons, and then we decided to move up to another sailboat. And then we just thought, well, you know what, let's just keep going with this and really pursue this, what used to seem like an impossible dream to me, which was to actually take time off and sail down to Mexico, potentially sail to the Caribbean in the future. And what's happening right now is that we sold our house, we bought a seaworthy sailboat, and we do have plans. We signed up for what's called the Baja Haha. Next October, we are sailing down to Mexico, and we're working toward this dream. And I think that if I had not written Living Life as a Thank You and practiced gratitude since then in all of its ways, and listened to so many wise people and interviewed so many people about their lives and what they might have done differently. You know, older people, when you talk to older people who talk about their regrets, you know, mm-hmm. They don't regret that they didn't, you know, go to more meetings. They regret that they didn't pursue certain dreams. And so I think that writing this book and living it really gave me the courage to pursue my dreams, and I'm actually living that right now. It's just phenomenal.
Wow.
It's really amazing.
Get this podcast delivered to you automatically. You can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and more. You'll find the links here or on our website, digdeepgrow.com. So you're talking a little about your personal life there, but let's move a little to the workplace. In Chapter 3 of your book, you talk about the grateful workplace, increased productivity and happiness while you work. Is there anything you could share from that chapter that might help our audience?
Yeah, I think that is absolutely huge. I mean, this gratitude, you know, can potentially change billions of people's lives. I mean, and in the workplace, it's just massive. There's been studies, obviously, that that gratitude can not just experience compassion in the workplace, but actually just witness it. It completely changes their attitude about their jobs. It's really fascinating. Really, really fascinating. Let's see. I'm trying to look for some of these studies.
Well, the one thing you mentioned there, it would make sense. We've all met people, and this is just in personal lives, out and about. You meet people and you wonder, what is it about that person that's attractive, you know? There's just something about them, right?
Right.
And so in the workplace, it's the same thing. Hey, I'd like to work for the boss in that department because he's like really nice for some reason. I just like him, you know. So
right, exactly. Well, I mean, happy salespeople sell around 56% more than their unhappy workmates. students perform better on tests. But, I found these studies. Let's see. Psychologist Adam Grant from the University of Pennsylvania and Francesca Gino from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill found that a thank you from a supervisor gave people a strong sense of both self-worth and self-efficacy. But, you know, there isn't a lot of – a lot of people don't feel appreciated at work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's also a woman, Jane Dutton, who is a professor of psychology and business at the University of Michigan. She's involved in a movement called Positive Organizational Scholarship, which looks for examples of positive deviance. And she has studied businesses like Newsweek, Reuters, Macy's, and Cisco Systems to learn how organizations respond to employees experiencing personal difficulty. And that is what I mentioned earlier, that they found that employees who had experienced gratitude and compassion at work saw themselves and the organization in a more positive light, mm-hmm. and therefore their productivity rose. So
right. So I mean, to all the CEOs out there, there is a good reason to go deep on this sort of thing rather than, you know, what's the latest data, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of that, and I find that to be one of the most fascinating areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I found that that page I was talking about, and I'm going to mention that in a minute, but I do want to tell everybody that there I have one extra copy of this book that I'd like to give away on today's program. Again, the book is called The Grateful Life by Nina Lesowitz and Mary Beth Sammons. And the first person who sends an email to liveshow@digdeepgrow.com will get that book. So all you have to do is send your name and address, and the first email with that will send that copy out to you. Okay? Now, the book that the page I was referring to is page 166, and it's titled Gratitude as Medicine. It's one of the sidebars. And it involves a study by a Dr. Martin Seligman with 50 severely depressed visitors to his self-help website. And so they all, let's see, I'll just read what it says.
They positive psychology. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they recommended that individuals take time each day to write down three things that went well that day and why they thought so. 15 days later, almost 95% of the people said they felt significantly less depressed. Their scores on a wide variety of testing and depression inventory dropped by 50%. But the thing that that I found most impressive was that the effects for the group practicing gratitude lasted for a full 6 months. So, you know, just for a couple of weeks of doing this, it has long-term impact.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, psychologists are really, really taking a close look at this now.
Yeah. So let's talk a little about you have a load of stories of individuals in the book and their journey. So maybe you could share one or two with them now.
Yeah, one of the stories that I really like, it's actually one of the very first stories and one of the first stories I wrote, and that is about the world blind golf champion, which isn't that amazing?
Wow.
A young man, actually, and he's a college student. He was a perfectly normal college student walking on campus, and suddenly he found that he couldn't see very well, and he went to the doctor and took months and months and months for it to be diagnosed, and it turned out that it was a hereditary condition. He ended up going blind while he was still in college. And what's so fascinating, I mean, fast forward to the conclusion of the story that we wrote, is that when you talk to him, he expresses gratitude for the fact that he's found his life purpose, because he always wanted to be a public speaker, and he also has always loved to play golf. So he and his father, who helps him on the course, now that they compete in golf championships, and he actually got to the top of, he's a world champion. He gets to travel. So can you imagine a young person who, when you speak to them, is full of, and who has gone blind? I mean, I know that all of us have thought about that. How would we feel if we suddenly couldn't see? I mean, all, you know?
Yeah.
And instead of focusing on all the things he can't do, he actually, when you speak to him, he expresses so much gratitude for the fact that he really loves his life right now. He expresses gratitude for all the people that support him and for his lifestyle. It is just, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, because it's just amazing when you interview people like this and talk and find people that have this kind of attitude. It really can change your own outlook about
I think we've all experienced, you know, a news story or, you know, just one of those, like, monumental feats of overcoming tragedy that people have, and you just say, I could never do that. You know, it's just, but I guess, you know, you have to actually be in the experience of it to know if you can handle it. And most times, you know, I think we're not given anything more than we can handle, usually, and we have to work with a lot, but we're able to do that. So along those lines, you know, tragedy, in the book, one of the stories talks about, having lost a loved one. And, you say you can even...
Well, yeah, there's one story about a woman who actually had to help her son starve to death. Did you read that one? Every Parent's Worst Nightmare, page 129.
Go ahead and share that.
Yeah, that is Monica Wesolowska here in the Bay Area, in Berkeley, in fact. Her son was born with brain damage, and she knew that it was fatal, and so she had to fight this. She and her husband had to really fight the system to get them to allow her son to die a natural death. And what could be worse than having to watch your child starve to death?
Wow.
And yet she actually wrote a book about it, and it's really a book about love. It's about how she spent every moment just loving him, and that, what she did was an act of compassion, and it's just really intense. And so she talks a lot about how throughout that process, she and her husband would look at each other and they'd try to acknowledge good things. Like they would say, aren't we lucky that we live so close to the hospital? And, aren't we lucky that we have such a great support system? And I mean, the worst that life can throw at you, having to go through something as incredibly heart-wrenching as that, and then on top of that, having to fight the system, and during that time, finding good things. And,
right, yeah.
And in the end, being grateful that she was able to be there with him while he died a natural death.
Yeah, I think
hooked up to machines. Yeah,
that's an important.
So, this is applicable to so many people. We're all going to go through trials and tribulations in our lives, and it's really a matter of attitude. Everything, it comes down to attitude, and it's not always easy, because I would say that we're oftentimes wired to be critical, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to grumble and it's easy to complain. You have to teach your brain to shift, and that's also a whole other area of science. This all the neuroscience that's taking place about how we can teach our brain to change.
Mm-hmm.
We can teach an old dog new tricks.
yeah. In a minute, I'd like to talk about in retrospect finding things to be grateful for in things that you just couldn't at the moment, But first, on page 43, you do mention that along these lines, for instance, if someone, a loved one has died, you can show gratitude by having gratitude that the deceased was in your life,
right.
The lessons you learned from them, that their spirit
right.
still lives within you, these kind of things. So,
wow, and then we have a quote from Robin Williams that was written before he passed away. Robin Williams discovered after his heart surgery, when you have something like heart surgery, you appreciate the simple things like breathing. That's kind of ironic in light of what's since happened.
Yes, right.
Poor guy.
Yeah. On the idea of looking back, and you could use a personal story if you'd like, just on some great challenge that you had in your life that you really, you would ask yourself, why is this happening to me? One of those things. And then afterward, months or years later, you say, if that had not happened, I would not be in this, or, something like that. Have you had those experiences?
Oh, absolutely. When I was going through my divorce, basically what was going through my head all day long, was this, I hate my life. I'm so unhappy. I was so stressed out. Why is this happening to me? And, I was just completely miserable, which of course affected my, everything. It affected everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, And then one day I just had an epiphany. I remember standing out in my backyard and just realizing that this was going to pass and that I did have the majority of my life ahead of me and that I wanted to be happy. And I let it go, and I ended up meeting my new husband. I mean, he's not new anymore, but and it's just, I mean, I learned from that first experience, and now I would have to say it's like my life has done a complete, you know, turnaround. It's just, now I'm happy all the time. The record that goes around in my head all the time is, how did I get so, you know, I'm so happy right now. You know, life could not be, life is great. So it's, yes, I mean, adversity. But the thing is I don't think you necessarily have to experience adversity. I mean, we write a lot about that in our books, about people who have had the worst thrown at them. And we write about people who live in places where they don't have enough to eat. However, I think that we can all learn from these people. You don't necessarily need to have gone through a traumatic experience in order to recognize that life is good. You can simply, and, but the thing is you do need a tool, because as I was saying earlier, it's very easy to lapse into complaining. So what is the tool? The tool is counting your blessings. That is the key tool. And if you say, well, that just doesn't feel natural to me, well, you can start slowly, you know, like you were talking earlier about in the instance of the psychologist who recommends that you write three things down. A lot of people recommend that you can do that. But I would say don't just write down, oh, I'm grateful for my relationship, or oh, I'm grateful for a roof overhead. You know, really look for gratitude moments in the mundane. Like, just be grateful that it's raining. You know, be grateful that you have a dishwasher, and you'll just start to find that everything changes. You know, you go from a feeling of irritation to a feeling of satisfaction just by doing that. And it is so simple. It really is. But that's why these studies, I mean, these studies, they're throwing so much money, you know, and at some of the brightest researches across the country, at some of the most prestigious institutions, and they're all coming to the same conclusion. And the same thing happens also when you study religion. You know, what is a common denominator in so many religious teachings? Is about counting your blessings, right?
Yeah, I think it was in your book that there was references to, you know, how much you attend church, whether it's or your religion, whether it be once a week or multiple days a week, it all has a greater impact on your contentment and happiness.
Right. There have been in-depth studies about that. And that was why, when I said earlier that I always thought, you know, and you also said, you know, when you look in someone's face and they look so happy, and, you know, and I used to attribute that to the fact that they believed in some higher being, or that they, you know, they went to church every Sunday, and there was something about that I wasn't getting, you know. But the thing is that you don't necessarily have to belong to a religion. You just need to tap into what all of these spiritual practices have recommended throughout the ages, you know, from time immemorial, and that is to count your blessings and to be grateful. So yeah, it's a common denominator in all religions.
Okay. Now,
fascinating.
There's one more question I'd like to ask you, and it's relating to how people get lucky on page 89. But
Don't you love that? Yeah,
I do.
Love
that. Maybe you could highlight a couple of the things there, but I'll just mention for everybody again, I'm talking with Nina Lesowitz about her book, The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. The question, this will be my last question for you, is on that subject of why some people just seem to get so lucky in life.
Right. Well, can you tell me what page that's on again?
89, 90.
I love that. Well, so this Bob Migliani, who wrote the book Embrace the Chaos, mm-hmm. He also has a blog, and so he writes about, and that's what we also do. We look around at other people and we think, well, there's something different about that person. You know, there's something, that person just happened to get a lucky break in life. But that's exactly what this book is about. It isn't about luck, you know. I mean, and even if you are quote-unquote lucky, i.e. rich, or you've inherited money, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're lucky in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I love what he writes. He then gives 21 reasons why some people get lucky, and he talks about how lucky people work harder, they surround themselves with positive people, and they put positive seeds into their mind every single day. They have a clear purpose. You know, they don't gossip or pay attention to the critics. They focus on the goal, not the plan. I'm just reading a few of them.
And I guess that
this is all great, great advice.
Yeah, and it also also highlights, you know, the idea that, you know, for those of us who accept the idea that you can actually create or manifest things in your life based on, you know, what you hold in your consciousness, in your mind, that this would go hand in hand with the idea of contentment.
Right. Exactly. It's so true. So, you know, I mean, when you express a feeling, you amplify it. So if you're expressing envy or irritation, you get more envious or irritated. But when you express appreciation, you become more grateful.
Exactly. So as we close, Nina, is there one thing that I didn't ask you that you think everybody should know about?
Well, what I do is I actually practice gratitude throughout the day. And so what I would suggest is that people don't look at it as something that they just need to check off on their to-do list before they go to bed at night, but rather to start to just transform their outlook by going through the day and noticing every beautiful object or smile at people and be grateful for the smile you receive in return. And you know, that is what I do. I literally go through my entire day, even on bad days, quote-unquote bad days, when I haven't had enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and even on those bad days, it's even more important.
Yeah, I had the picture of, like, you know, if your it could be your husband or your loved one, if they're having a bad day, you could be grateful for them having a bad day.
No, you don't have to be grateful for the, well, I mean, you know, we say that be grateful for these bad experiences because they're teaching moments, but you know, it's, I think that we all have within us the capacity to be happy. And also, I think this is a interesting time in history, you know, where we can really learn from all these new studies about happiness. And that's why the Greater Good Science Center was developed at UC Berkeley, was really to take a very close scientific, academic look at positive things that are going on.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and once you do that, you know, life gets better, and it may just help to have a ripple effect, and it may help some of the horrible things that are going on in the world. You know, not just, you know, we don't just want to be happy in our own little environment. We want to be, but the thing is that people who are grateful are so much more likely to do volunteer work and to help other people. So, it definitely does have the potential to change the world, in my opinion.
Well, Nina, thank you for sharing about your book, The Grateful Life. It's available everywhere now, and good luck on the going out and speaking and however you promote it. It's a good book. Everybody, go pick it up. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.